Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Today, we'll meet an Iowa City girl, raised on classical music, pop grooves, and legendary Iowa corn. Little did Juliana Zobrist know that her earliest lessons in classical piano would eventually bring her to Nashville, Tennessee, where she would study voice and piano and quickly go on to earn jobs in various music industry management roles. At the age of 21, upon marrying major leaguer Ben Zobrist, currently of the World Series hopeful Chicago Cubs, she began formulating her poetry into song as a means of expressing her heart, asking questions of God, and recounting the things he was doing in her life. Now, she's a well-traveled recording artist who just last month released her highly anticipated full-length album, Shatterproof. We'll discover the heart and the faith behind this one-of-a-kind journey today on the road. The warmest of welcomes to you, Juliana. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk with you.
So first things first, maybe you could just take us inside the Zobrist house. What does a day look like in the life for you guys when you have this bundle of little ones, a recording artist, and an MLB star all in the same house?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it's probably fairly normal looking. I'm not sure how out of the box we really are, aside from just our schedule, but we do sleep in late because games are late. So wake-up time for us isn't until 10 a.m. And from 10 to 1, that is our sacred family time. So we get those 3 hours in the morning to just be family, just be a mom, you know, dad, and we have three little kids. So we really protect that time as a family. So I don't do any work of my own during that time. And as well, Ben doesn't do any of his work during that time. Of course, sometimes there are exceptions, but for the most part across the board, we hold fairly true to that. And we have a big breakfast together and we pray together every morning. And then once Ben leaves for the field, that sort of becomes my business time and the kids' school time. So we homeschool. I do not homeschool them personally, but we have a teacher that we hire that comes to our home to teach them. And so for the next 4 hours, the kids are in school and that's my time to work. So I go to rehearsal or do, you know, work on my performances or whatever it is, write whatever it is that's on the docket for the day.
Sure.
And then typically if I don't have a show or anything going on that evening, then we'll go to the game up in Chicago and watch Ben play, which is such a joy for us. It's exciting for the kids to be a part of it, to feel like they're a part of it, because we only get 3 hours a day with Ben when we're actually with each other. You know, we maximize those times. So.
Oh, I'm sure you do. And I think baseball being unique among the major sports in that there are simply so many games over the course of a 162 game season, half of that, of course, being on the road with such a young family. Are you able to follow him much when they go on the road, or do you stay there in Chicago?
I am. You know, that's a large part as to why I've decided to remain an independent artist, is because I'm able to navigate my career around his traveling schedule. And when he first got drafted into baseball, at that moment in our lives, we were newly engaged and we thought that he was going to be a youth pastor. So the idea of baseball as a profession was new to both of us. And so we really prayed hard about what God would have us do. And Ben said, when he called me and let me know that he had been drafted by the Houston Astros at the time, he said, if we're going to do this, if I'm going to do baseball, then we're doing this together. So that day we formulated a 6-day rule where we don't spend any longer than 6 days apart. So to answer your question, yes, for the kids and I, that means getting on the road, booking flights, of our own, we don't get to fly with the team, which is a common misconception. So I'm traveling through the airport alone with three kids, hopping on Southwest flights every single week to meet Ben in the cities that he's playing in, just to keep the family together, to keep that commitment. And obviously, it's not like the golden ticket to a perfect life, but it's a starting point for us. And
yeah.
And I'm grateful and thankful that we've been able to keep to that.
Just one last question about, I think so many people are fascinated by this life situation that you have. And I thought one of the stories that captured this dynamic so very well was this amusing tale of the arrangement that you had with Ben last fall when he was playing in the World Series with Kansas City on the road in New York City, and you were expecting to go into labor at any point.
Yeah.
What was the deal that you guys made if Ben had to miss the event?
Oh my goodness. If he had to miss the birth, well, you know, I chalked it up to I wouldn't be the first woman that's given birth without her husband by her side. At that point, all the men out there know there's not much that they do. it's really just a moment of accomplishment for the woman. But anyways, you know, of course he wanted to be there. I wanted to be there. Wanted to be there for his accomplishment as well. And so he flew me up, and I was due that week, and he said, all right, if I'm flying you up privately, then you need to come with your doctor and no jumping. And he had all of these stipulations, but he wanted me to be there, and I wanted to be there so desperately too, you know? So I traveled around with my doctor, and he always had his bag with him of emergency medical equipment just in case I went into labor. And so it was a crazy, crazy day. I mean, we won, massive celebration. I mean, try watching your husband win the World Series and not jump up and down. It was my reality. So I'm pumping my fist as rapidly as I possibly can. And so we celebrated. We flew back to Kansas City the next day. We had the big parade celebration, 800,000 people. So Ben and I were in that parade. And then the next day we had to move out of our apartment. We had just rented an apartment, not anticipating and honestly just not knowing how long we would be there.
Sure.
And so we had rented this place, and we had to move out. So his family helped us move out. We jump on another plane, come back to our home base in Nashville, Tennessee, and we landed, and less than 24 hours later, she was born. It was insane. And people are like, did you plan that? I mean, because my single dropped on the same day, and my single was called Alive. And so people are hilarious, thinking like, oh, you totally planned that. And I'm like, yes, I planned that. No, I didn't. You cannot plan those things. You don't know that you're going to win the World Series, have to move home, release your single, and have a baby all within a 3-day span. Typically doesn't really happen for most people.
It's such a great story from Juliana Zobrist,
yes,
the recording artist and speaker. Her new album is called Shatterproof. And Juliana, for those who haven't had the chance to listen to one of your tracks yet, how do you describe your sound?
The sound is very immediate. It's immediate and accessible and fun. It'll get you moving and dancing. Sonically, it's just that. I mean, it's fun to listen to. I love music that will make you dance and make you, you know, pass by the time a little bit quicker when you're having to clean your kitchen. That's the type of music I write. And then lyrically, the music is hopefully thought-provoking. It is for me. It's extremely transparent. There's the story behind every song in the record, which is really important to me. You know, in 3.5 minutes, it's difficult to communicate sometimes a profound truth. So
yeah,
it was important for me to be able to, in the booklet, in the insert, be able to write out for every single song what it means and why I wrote it.
I think it can become almost just this cliche that we say when we talk about an album release, but we forget about the toil and the tears that go into making a record. I mean, this really represents the culmination of a journey of years for you, right? Can you give us a window into what goes into this?
Yeah, it was 3 years. 3 years of work. 3 years of nap times is what I say. When you've got three kids, you know, and at the time, none of them were, well, they were, I was homeschooling them myself, and so we're homeschooling and on the road. Like, the moment that I don't have the luxury of getting to go in someplace every single day and work from 9 to 5 and leave. It's really on my own terms. And so it's choosing to work during nap times instead of turning on the TV, instead of, you know, lounging around or going shopping or meeting up with friends. It's deciding to sit down and work, you know, and stretch your brain and journey into your own heart, which isn't always super fun, and look at life differently. So, yeah, it absolutely is a lot of toil. It feels like you've had a child. when the record is released, finally, it feels like, man, there's that rush of adrenaline and just complete and utter exhaustion. And I told Ben, like, I looked back and I said, I don't even know how I just accomplished that. Everything from writing it to going into my co-writes, which are, you know, at least 6 hours, and then a couple days of 6 hours a day, you know, formulating each of these songs. And you go in, you begin to produce them, and then there's the production time, and then you go in with your vocal and you're discovering what is this song going to sound like. And then you're mixing and then you're mastering. So the whole process is just very labor intensive and does take, at least for me, because I do pour my heart into it, it requires that of you. And so in a way, it's a gift. It's a gift to your fans. It's a gift to my family and anyone, I guess, who cares to listen of an inside peek of my heart. So.
That's well said. The record is called Shatterproof. Juliana Zobrist is with us here on the road. And as you look back on the faith journey that led you to this place, you were a pastor's kid, right? Did you make faith your own early on, Juliana? What was that journey like for you?
So I was raised in the church, being a PK, you know, in the church every time the doors were open. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for the abundance of knowledge that my parents instilled in me, that church instilled in me. I see God's hand in that in such an incredible way, to be able to recount verses right now that I learned when I was 5 and 6 years old.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible to me. So I'm so grateful that they gave that to me and that opportunity for me to just have knowledge of the scripture. Now, I didn't necessarily believe everything until later. When I was a sophomore in high school, I went to an event called SEMP. It stands for Students Equipped to Minister to Peers. And it was a conference based out in Chicago, ironically. And they were teaching us how to evangelize people on the street. And regardless of what your opinion is of that evangelistic tactic, that's why I was there. And it was sort of this back against the wall moment for me, where I realized, oh my word, there is no way I am putting myself out there to talk about something that I don't believe. There's no way. I'm not doing that. I'm not walking up to a complete stranger. So in that moment, it was as if God just sort of, you know, took the scales off my eyes and said, you don't believe, but I'm going to make you believe. You know, I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you eyes to see. And for me, that was my turning point. That was my moment of just realizing what he had done for me, realizing who I was, and his extravagant grace to continue to pursue me and to give me salvation. So that was my my journey to salvation, my moment of salvation. And it's just been such a fantastic journey, to use your word, of seeing those scriptures now come alive in my own life and really begin to understand what they're about and what they mean. And I mean, it's like a miracle. It's just very cool to be given that gift of faith and the gift of belief. I'm really grateful.
That's well said. And you split your youth between the state of Florida and the state of Iowa. And how did those not particularly similar places shape the person that you are? And when and where did you discover your love for music?
Well, I moved to Iowa when I was 7 years old. So while I do have memories of Orlando, I feel like my home, I feel like where I was from was Iowa. I grew up in a very musical family, though. My parents met playing saxophone at LSU. All of my sisters sang. We were all in show choir. Music was just a love of mine from the beginning. My mom said I could sing before I could walk. And it was a way of expressing myself. I was extremely shy. I was very content to just sit downstairs with my headphones on and my books and be by myself. Very, very shy girl. And music was sort of my outlet, my way of getting out of my own shell. And it's always been that way for me. It's always been that platform of expression in my own life. So grew up in Iowa singing a lot of classical music, playing classical music, getting in trouble for dancing while I'm singing my classical arias. And so I was trying to decide whether to go into science at the University of Iowa or into music at Belmont University. And it was just a heart decision for me. It was, what do I love more? What can I not live without? And music was the answer. So that took me to Belmont, and that began my musical path up until this point.
That is the voice of Juliana Zobrist, the recording artist and speaker. Her new album is called Shatterproof. And this is a remarkable story, a fantastic journey of someone who has a very deep faith and a lifelong passion for music. And one of the neat signposts on the journey of your recording artist career was a wedding present to you from your husband, Ben, that I believe played a pivotal role in your career. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So when we got married, I was finishing my junior year of college, and Ben was beginning his career in major league, in professional baseball. So we were in rookie ball at the time. So it was sort of this crazy moment of, what do I do with school? Do I drop out and travel? Do I stay with you? Do I finish school? I didn't really know what to do. So that the question of, oh, am I just giving up everything that I've worked for? That was on the table for me. I didn't know.
Sure.
And Ben, after we got married, we came back to our apartment, and he had purchased and totally set up for me an 88-key MIDI keyboard, speakers, a Mac laptop computer, and recording equipment to be able to begin recording my own music on the road. So we traveled in single-A, double-A baseball, you know, Corpus Christi, Texas, these little podunk little cities all across the United States with my MIDI keyboard in between our Chevy Malibu, in between the driver and the passenger seat. We would travel all across the country with that keyboard and my speakers so that I could continue writing music and investing myself in what I loved. And that has been, music is a gift from Ben in that way, you know, so I love the opportunity to be able to share that because I couldn't do it without him. I literally couldn't, you know, when I married him, I was ready to be like, all right, I'm done. let's go do the baseball thing. I knew how demanding that career was and is. I was ready if that's what he needed for me to hang it up. All right, let's do it. You know, let's be married. And so in a way, like, he's always been my biggest advocate, my biggest support, my biggest fan for sure. He's kept me from quitting, and I've kept him from quitting numerous times as well.
Wow.
So we are definitely each other's support.
Man, well, it's been fantastic and very encouraging to hear you share this story. And we only have a few more minutes as it goes pretty speedily, as it is wont to do. But you've talked about wanting the gospel to saturate all that you do in your life and your career. You've made this pretty remarkable observation, I think, that if we get to the end of our lives having only loved ourselves, we've missed the point. Why is that message so central to you and to your music?
For me, it's because I don't know that this was necessarily meant to be communicated to me in this way, but a lot of times in the Christian culture specifically, we're told, like, you know, you can love yourself because God made you and you are beautiful and you are the way that He made you, and et cetera, et cetera. And the problem with that is that if it ends there, then what happens when we screw up? You know, what happens when I just have a bad day and I'm not enjoying being a mom? Like, what happens in those times? You know, I can't just rest on the fact that, okay, I'm beautiful and I was made the way that God made me to be. It has to be more than that. It has to be more than just being comfortable in our own skin. And I think the profound truth that I was missing in my life from that message, and that I think a lot of us are missing, is that the strongest people that we know, the strongest women that I know, the most shatterproof women, to use my own word, that I know, are the women that are completely broken, see themselves for the way that they truly are, you know, are strong enough to journey down deep into their hearts and to realize, oh my goodness, their desperate need for a savior, their desperate need for God and for the Holy Spirit on a continual basis in their lives. Not that we ever get to a point where we're confident enough in ourselves, or we love ourselves enough and we know how we've been made enough to whatever. It has nothing to do with our ability to understand those things. It has everything to do with our ability to, I believe, see God for who He truly is, see our mess for what it is, and, you know, just as consistent as our failures are His loving pursuits of us. So that's what I mean by saying I want the gospel to saturate it. I want that message to saturate it. You know, His goodness, not ours. His perfection, not ours. His ability, not ours. You know, looking to the goodness of a person that went before us, not striving so desperately to be something that we are unable to be. Just resting and clinging to the hope of a loving Savior that while we were yet still sinners, died for us.
Wow. Well, that's a great word to end our conversation on. Shatterproof is the name of the record where that message is so prevalent. Juliana Zobrist is the recording artist and speaker that we've been talking to today on the road. And Juliana, we don't want to say farewell without talking about where we can get the record. What's the best place to learn more about you and pick up Shatterproof?
Yes. Well, you can get it at any of your Christian bookstores. And then you can find it on iTunes and Amazon and everywhere online. So
perfect.
It should hopefully be easy to find.
Well, it's been so much fun talking with you, Juliana, and I suppose the only last question that does need to be asked, considering your husband's stardom on the Chicago Cubs and the excellence of the Cubs this year, it's been since 1908 that the World Series has gone without a title there in Chicago. Is this the year, Juliana?
Oh my goodness. I have every single limb crossed that it is. I would love for this to happen. And if it does, I'm just praying that I survive it. because the whole city is going to go completely insane. But I definitely believe in the ability and the determination of at least one of the men on that team. And I have full confidence of the rest of them as well.
Well, we will be wishing you the best. And I think even those of us who here on the road and are Brewers fans or Twins fans or Cardinals fans won't be able to help but cheering for the Zobrists just a little bit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, that's awesome.
And thank you so much for your time today. It's been so great learning about your story, and keep up the great work.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.